Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pax, Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho, Lila, Tanyan, Wasi Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. The last, what I did was greeted you in 9 different languages, and the last of those, the one in which I said, Ho, Lila, Tanyan, Wasi Yake. That is Lakota, for hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Before we get started on today's shiur, today's teaching, I want to make this announcement. As you, either you are here or you are who are listening to this, may know, we canceled last Monday's shiur. It's not that I had something better to do. It's that I was not feeling well physically. Now, what I'm about to tell you is not for the purpose of currying sympathy or eliciting sympathy from you. Rather, it's because I believe that you have a right to know what is going on and how it affects my ability to teach. You should know that about a year ago, I was diagnosed with polycythemia vera. That's a clonal disorder, or speaking plainly, any clonal disorder is a cancer. This polycythemia vera is a cancer of the bone marrow. It's a chronic disease in which my bone marrow overproduces platelets and red blood cells. And this disease can be managed quite successfully for anywhere from 10 to 15 years through a variety of treatment plans, such as phlebotomy, that is drawing off 2 units of blood, a procedure I currently undergo every 30 to 60 days. And if necessary, if that stops working, then they can go to chemotherapy, which by introducing certain chemicals into the body, they can cause the bone marrow to stop overproducing certain blood cells. Now, in addition to this, I've been diagnosed with several autoimmune disorders, such as Meniere's disease and Raynaud's syndrome, for which I require various medicines. Occasionally, the treatments and the medications that I take leave my strength severely depleted and even cause me to suffer from a number of negative side effects, such as dizziness and nausea, or an inordinate need for sleep. Needless to say, such side effects, when they occur, interfere with my feeling of well-being, and they prevent me from doing much of anything, much less having the wherewithal and the focus necessary to teach Kabbalah. So this is why I was unable to teach last Monday, and why I canceled the shiur last Monday. Now, I absolutely do not want you to worry about me, as my prognosis is very good. I have access to top oncologists, hematologists at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center at the University of Washington in Seattle, which is one of the top cancer centers in the country. And they have told me that my prognosis is very good. These problems that I'm suffering from are not at the current time life-threatening, nor are they the sign of any physical deterioration in me or in my health. They're merely something that's negative that God has handed me out of his left hand. And like Job, or at least I like to think that I'm like Job in this respect, I thank God for these minor torments because they help me to appreciate God's greater gift from his right hand of the abundance of life in all its myriad details, even more than if I were not afflicted, as I've just described. I hope only, in my telling you this, I hope only that you will understand when it's necessary from time to time for me to cancel one of our classes, one of our shiurim. you will know why now, that suddenly I have to announce that the lecture is canceled, because I generally don't know until just before the class whether I'll be well enough. If I'm feeling badly that day, I don't know whether it will be bad enough that I can't teach the class until pretty late on, pretty close to the time to start the class. So what my hope is that you'll now understand in the future when it's necessary for me to cancel a shiur here and there. Also, I do ask for your prayers that I may continue to teach the secrets and the mysteries of God's Torah for many years to come. All right, that's the announcement that I wanted to make, and so now we'll move on. Before we begin this shiur, I will do as I do at the beginning of every shiur, and I'll recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen, and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yishkadal v'yishkadash me rabo, bo modi ve'ro kirase, v'yamlik malkase, v'kayakon uv'yumakon uv'kaya dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uv'izman koryev ve'yimru omein. Yehesh me rabo mavorak leolam ule ome omayo yis barak v'yistavak v'yis parar v'yis ramam v'yis nase v'yis hadar v'yis ale v'yis halal shmedikadjo beraku le'elo minkol berkaso v'sharoso tushbakoso v'nekamoso da'am yuron ve'omo ve'imro omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo, vekayim leinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Ose shalom bimromov, hu yashe shalom oleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you very much. And I want to just check our recording levels here. And yes, they are too high. They're overamping the system here, so turn these down just a little. I use, for your information, I use an application called Total Recorder, which is really very good. But for some reason, it has a little slider that I can use to move both the playing volume, which isn't relevant right now, but more relevant right now is the recording level. I can move it up and down. And for some reason, even though I set it where I want, when I turn it on and start recording, it tends to move up. And I'm not sure why that is. But in any event, it's still a very good application, and we get good quality recordings of these shiurim. Well now, today we begin a new series of teachings. Actually, we embarked upon it without your knowing it or my knowing it in our last shiur, a week ago today, when I talked about, I raised the rhetorical question, what is our avodah? Okay, so this series is on the subject of Avodah, which means, it's Hebrew and it means in English, service to God. Yes, we have a service to God. We do not exist independent of God. He has given us free will. So we can choose not to surrender our lives into the service of God's designs in this world. We can choose not to surrender to the destiny that we jointly picked prior to our souls being bound to these physical bodies in this lifetime. Our soul, along with our zelem, or some Kabbalists say our guardian spirit or angel, jointly picked a lifetime, this lifetime that we're in now, prior to our birth, and picked what our destiny would be. In other words, what would be our service to God in this life? What would we seek to learn in this lifetime? What could this lifetime here in the world of forms and names teach us spiritually? And what could we do to best advance God's agenda for ourselves and for others and for this world? And that's what I mean when I say that each of us has an avodah, a service to God. That's why we're here. We were not born by accident. I guess if you want to be if you want to be an atheist and believe there is no God, then you wouldn't be here in the first place. So I'm speaking now to people who at least share this in common, that they believe in God. And what I'm here to teach is that God has a design for every person's life, a plan for every person's life. And part of that plan is when one reaches the age of physical and mental and spiritual maturity, generally around around the 22nd year, then the human being who has reached that stage of maturity comes to realize that, or hopefully comes to realize that he can't lead his life, he or she can't lead his or her life independent of the will of God, and have meaning to that life, have that life have any meaning, and find any reason for one's existence. Because you see, meaning and reason, a reason for one's life and meaning to one's existence is something that one doesn't obtain on one's own. That can only come from God. And of course, what we provide God in return, as I talked about a little bit in our last meeting, is we are the sense organs of God in the material, physical, temporal world, in this universe, this world of forms and names. We are God's sense organs. We allow God, who is entirely eternal and spiritual, to sense a little bit what it's like to be mortal, to be physical. And in return for that, in return for seeing, letting, for acting as a mirror for God, to reflect back to God these experiences, because that's what we're reflecting back to God, is not just the image in which he made us, but these experiences that we are having in this world, which he cannot have, which I should say it, because God is neither male nor female, and yet both androgynous, and actually beyond an entire concept of gender. Okay, so it's best to say it. But out of the strangeness that people sense when one refers to God as it in the third person pronoun, I will just continue to use he, because people are more comfortable with that. So that's why we exist, to give back to God vicariously through us experience in a dynamic world in which time is sequential and limited, in which there is physicality as well as spirituality. All right. So I touched on that in our last teaching, in our last shiur. So this series is going to be on the subject of avodah, service to God. And I'm going to start off by reading a short passage out of Perkei Avot, which means in Hebrew ethics or wisdoms of the fathers. Ethics, I think, is closer to the literal translation, ethics of the fathers. And I'm going to read from that part 1, verse 2. Shimon the righteous was among the last surviving members of the great assembly. And that's in reference to some great sages and rabbis prior to the turn of the millennium of the first century in the Common Era. So it says, Shimon the righteous was among the last surviving members of the great assembly. And remember this word, this appellation that's tacked onto Shimon, the name here, the righteous, because that's what we're going to be talking about, or at least this shiur, is this concept of righteousness. What does it mean? How does it work? So here's what Perkei Avot 1:2 says. Shimon the righteous was among the last surviving members of the great assembly. He would say, colon, here's what he says, the world stands on three things, Torah, the service of God, and deeds of kindness. The world stands on three things: Torah, the service of God, and deeds of kindness. Now, in Hebrew, these are Torah, Avodah, and Maasim Tzedakah. Maasim HaTzedakah. And what those mean are, Torah means instruction. Sefer HaTorah means the book of instruction. That's what Torah means. Torah means instruction. So this is one of the three legs. It's like a three-legged stool upon which the world stands. The first leg is instruction. The second leg is avodah. And as I just described to you, that means service to God. And the third leg is maasim ha-tzedakah, which means acts of kindness or charity. Okay? Charity. So these three legs make up the stool or the foundation. They are the three things that the world stands on. And so in that sense, they are a foundation upon which the world stands. Now in Etz Chaim, the tree of life, and I'd like you right now, if you have your diagram of the Ten Holy Sefirot, to get it out. Indeed, you should have it for every one of these shiurim that I teach, because this is really what Kabbalah is about, is at least the theoretical or theosophical branch of Kabbalah, as opposed to the ecstatic, which is ecstatic deals with experiencing devakut or contact, communion with God. Okay, but the theosophical, theoretical Kabbalah, which is what I'm teaching right now, and in most of these shiurim, because you have to have a foundation and a structure, you have to learn what that structure of the Godhead is, which is what the diagram of the Ten Sefirot is. It's a diagram of the structure of the Godhead, okay, with God's ten attributes in the form of what we call the Ten Holy Sefirot, arranged in the form of an upside-down tree called Etz Chaim, a tree of life. And why is it upside down? Because it's the order of God's emanation going from Ein Sof, which is totally, entirely transcendental, into the world of the Ten Sefirot, the Ten Attributes, which are still ethereal, but are emanated in a downward direction from spirituality and ethereality to physicality and materiality. So each level that one goes down in that upside-down tree, God is becoming, and the world, the universe, is becoming more material, more physical, more distilled out, precipitated. The physical precipitates out of the spiritual, so to speak. And so the root of the tree is in the beginning of the emanations, which is Keter. Okay, and then it goes down all the way down to Malkut, which is kingdom. So in this Etz Chaim, and you need to have this with you all the time, or you won't understand anything we're talking about, or very little of it, okay, which is the manifestation in the four supernal worlds. Remember I said there are four supernal worlds, and what those are groupings of the ten holy sefirot into groups, into triads, or groups of three, okay, in which the ten holy attributes, or the sefirot, are grouped. So what I'm saying here is, in that Etz Chaim, we find that there is a sefira, one sefira, upon which all the worlds above it, and all the whole individual holy sefirot above it, stand. So look at your diagram of the ten holy sefirot, and go down to the ninth sefira, and it should be labeled Sefira Yesod, or Yesod Olam, or another thing it's sometimes labeled, depending on where you, you know, what version of the tree you got, with what version of names that you have, is Tzadik. So find that on your diagram of the ten holy sefira, the ninth sefira. It's the next to the last one. It's the second one up from the bottom, the one just above the one on the middle column, just above Malkut and below Tiferet, Tiferet. Okay? Now, Esod is Hebrew for foundation. That's what Esod means. As in, and we say foundation, it's the same as if we're speaking of a building. The foundation of a building. It's the stone block. The cornerstone, which does not sink, upon which the building is constructed, stands firm and cannot fall. Okay? The full name of this Sephira, the ninth Sephira, is, as I just mentioned, Esod Olam. Literally, that means, literally, foundation of the world. So when we apply the teaching of Perkei Avot, part 1, verse 2, to the diagram of the ten holy Sephirot, we find that the Godhead itself, this is the structure that I've been talking about, the entire Eskayim is the Godhead. Why is it the Godhead? Because it consists of all ten attributes of God. So what we find is that the Godhead itself and all of the supernal worlds in which God is manifest stand upon a foundation, which is Esod, that consists of three qualities. And what I'm doing now is I'm relating the teaching in Perkei Avot 1-2, which states, in which Shimon the Righteous said, the world stands on three things, Torah, the service of God, and deeds of kindness. So applying that now to the ten holy Sephirot, and specifically to Sephira Yesod Olam, which means the foundation of the world, so you can see why we can apply this in a direct one-to-one relationship. What we find is that Esod, the Olam, the foundation of the world, consists of three qualities. So this Sephira Esod, the ninth Sephira, consists of three qualities: Torah, instruction; Avodah, service to God; and Tzedakah, deeds of kindness. Which is another way, and sometimes people say this, of saying charity. Okay, tzedakah can mean charity, and yet that's charity is just another way of saying deeds of kindness. Whenever you see the phrase in Hebrew Musar, ethics, okay, deeds of kindness, that's what it's talking about, is charity, doing charity to others. Now, as I said, Esod has another name. That other name is Tzadik, and I'll spell that for you. It's T is in Tom, Z is in zebra, A, D, double D, like in David, I, K. K is in king. Tzadik means literally righteous one. And what is the term that we often apply to people in the world who practice righteousness? What do we call such people? Well, oftentimes we refer to them as saints. Mother Teresa dedicated her life in India to helping feed the poor and care for them. We call her a saint. And other, not just her, but any person who practices righteousness, which consists of these three attributes that I've been talking about, that's listed in Perkei Avot, part 1, verse 2. Okay, so we call them saints. Anybody who does this. Not somebody who's been canonized, although in the Catholic Church they can end up being canonized. But what I'm saying is, anybody who does this, we refer to them loosely as saints, and they really are saints in the sense of being righteous. Okay, and what are the qualities that the saints, or those who are righteous, have? Or what is it that the qualities that they incorporate into their very being, their essence? The qualities of studying and teaching Torah, that's instruction. Avodah, service to God, and Maasim HaTzedakah, deeds of kindness, or more simply stated, charity. Okay. Thus, the ninth Sephira teaches us, and I'm talking about now looking at the diagram, because The diagram of the Ten Holy Sefirot, the Etz Chaim, is a learning tool. It's a learning device. We, by having this figure of symbols, because nobody says God looks like this. God's not a diagram. But that's what we have here. So we have a figure, we have a diagram that is a teaching tool. Okay? So what the ninth Sefira, Yesod Olam, or Tzadik, teaches us is that the person who is righteous is the very foundation of the world, both above and below. Both above and below. Drawing down from the supernal worlds these three qualities of instruction, service to God, and charity. Drawing these qualities down from the upper worlds, the supernal worlds, in the form of light and energy, drawing them down, and distributing them in the lower world that is this earth, this world that we live in, the world of time, the world of space, of matter. And just as a note, the word tzaddik, which means righteous one, it itself comes from the Hebrew root tzedek, T-Z-E, D as in David, E-K as in king, tzedek. Okay, so tzaddik is derived from a Hebrew root called tzedek. And tzedek means justice. But not merely in the sense of crime and punishment. That's what we always think about when we talk about we need justice, or as our leaders say, we're going to rout those terrorists out and bring them to justice. Okay, well, that's in the sense of crime and punishment. Okay, but that's not really what tzedek means here. In that sense, I think a better Hebrew word would be din. D as in David, I, N as in Nancy, din, which means strict justice. That's the sense in the sense of crime and punishment. But tzedek means justice in the sense of social justice, of doing equity in the world. This means working for equal rights, equal opportunities, equal access to food, clothing, and shelter. That's what tzedek means, and that's the root from which tzaddik, or righteous, comes. So it means that the righteous, in performing deeds of kindness, including those deeds of kindness, is the concept of social justice. And as I said, that means that a person has to work. If one is going to consider oneself as striving to become a tzaddik, a righteous person, and that's no great high attainment or achievement. What I mean by that is that's not in the sense of tzaddik. That's not what tzaddik means in the sense of Hasidism. It sort of is, but not really. The tzaddik in Hasidic villages and Hasidic groups is looked upon as an intermediary between God and the people, and is held in super high regard. It's an exalted position. But that's not what I'm talking about here. That's a tzaddik with a capital T-Z, okay? Capitalized. I'm talking about the lowercase T-Z-A-D-D-I-K, okay? This is a position to which all of us can attain. It's exalted by God, but not by the world. Mother Teresa did her work in obscurity and anonymity, largely for most of her life, until the very last part of her life, when the rest of the world suddenly took notice. And then everybody wants to be a part of a winner, right? Wants to ride on the coattails of a winner. They looked at her work and said, oh, wow, I want to be associated with that. So they started promoting her. Okay, but Mother Teresa was a saint with a lowercase T-Z-A-D-D-I-K. Okay, and that means in order to attain to that level, that rung of spiritual attainment or development, one has to understand that you're going to have to do acts, deeds of kindness or charity, and that those include, of necessity, the concept of justice. That is social justice. You're going to have to work for other people's equal rights, equal opportunities, and equal access to food, clothing, and shelter. So what I'm telling you is that God does not let any of us off the hook. Something that a lot of people are very uncomfortable with, that they just as soon forget. It'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it, if we could just lead our lives the way we want, and then find out when we're done, well, I didn't kill anybody, so I guess I can go to heaven. Yes, that's probably true, but that's avoidance. That's work avoidance, to use a term from the labor market, from the workplace. That's called work avoidance. God put us here to carry out the destiny that he gave us and to put us in service of himself and the world. And if we do that, then we too will be exalted by God. Not necessarily the world, but by God. We will become a righteous person. Exotic. Okay? So, as I was saying, God doesn't let any of us off the hook. We have to eventually come to realize this, and it has to be an epiphany in our lives, in our consciousness. It has to be a turning on of the light bulb, that we're not here for our own purposes. We're not here to even perfect ourselves for the sake of self-perfection. Everything that we do is for the sake of God and the world, or it should be. And when we make that, when we surrender to God, our lives into God's service and into the service of the world, tikkun olam, repair of the world, tikkun hapanim, repair, spiritual repair of God, when we do that, we too will then move into the realm, the exalted status of as I taught in our last class, the exalted status of Israel. Israel is a level beyond the level of Jacob. Jacob adheres only to, observes only the letter of the law, the minimum that the person has to do to get by in this lifetime. But Israel is an exalted status. That's the name given to Jacob after he wrestled with Samael, the prince of darkness, the angel of darkness, the aspect of God who is the adversary of man. And that's an exalted status. And that means one who goes beyond the letter of the law, one who attains to surrender one's life into God's will, and to do God's work, and to help repair the world. Okay, now I mentioned that the Tzaddikim, those who are righteous, people we loosely refer to as saints, are the foundation of both the upper and the lower worlds. Remember, I just mentioned that? Well, just as Yesod Olam, meaning foundation of the world, is the intermediary in the Godhead between the upper three worlds of Atzilut, Maria, Yetzirah, and the lowest of the four upper worlds, Malkut, which means kingdom. Excuse me, that world's name is Asiya, which means completion. Okay. So just as Yesod Olam, in that diagram, the Ten Holy Sefirot, stands for that aspect of God that mediates and channels between the upper three worlds and the lower of the four Sephirotic worlds, channeling energy and communication upward and downward between the various ten Sephirot, so too is the Tzaddik, the righteous one. I'm talking about human being now. Okay, so too is the human being who is exalted to the position of a righteous one, who stands in the position of Yesod Olam. Okay, now I'm talking about here a metaphorical way of thinking about what you're doing. If I say that one is standing in the position of Yesod Olam, I'm saying that a human being has placed himself in the position, in the same position that Yesod Olam, the ninth sephirot, the ninth sephira, is on the diagram of the ten holy sephirot. Okay, and this is a mental and emotional and spiritual state. Okay, so when you do that, or I do that, or another person does that, okay, then this righteous person, and as I just said earlier, we can all become tzaddikim, how? Through our thoughts, words, and deeds. Then when this person stands in the position of Yesod Olam, that means that person's taking upon himself the function of Yesod Olam. And that person is the intermediary, not between Malkut and the eight sephirot above, well, the nine, including Yesod Olam, but between the upper worlds, the four upper worlds, which we connect to through the bottommost sephira called Malkut, kingdom, also called Shekinah, God's divine indwelling presence. So that person, when he does that, or she does that, is an intermediary between the four upper spiritual worlds and the lower physical world of here and now, here below. Doing what? Drawing down God's light, the light of loving kindness, his holy shafa barakah, and that means sustenance of blessing. In other words, the energy that keeps everything in the physical world moving, keeps it going, sustains it. God didn't just make this world. God didn't just give it to us. God sustains it. How? With his holy shafa barakah. It's an influx, a flowing downward from above us into us, into our world, of God's influx of divine sustenance. And then what does the righteous person do? Not only does the righteous person draw down God's light of loving kindness and his holy shafa barakah, but that person passes it on to those he or she meets. So in that sense, the human tzaddik, or righteous person, performs the same service to God and to the world that the ninth sephira, Yesod Olam, performs to it with relation to the ten holy sephirot and the four spiritual worlds. Let me check our time here. Okay, we're running on to 38 minutes now. Let me just look at my notes here. This is a good place to stop, and then we will take up at this, where we're leaving off here today. It's a very good place to stop, and I'll be continuing on the same subject on Monday. Yes, today's Wednesday. On Monday, at the same time, same place, God willing. And in the meantime, I've recorded this, and it will be rebroadcast tonight. Excuse me, it will be rebroadcast tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Okay, and so if you'd like to come to that meeting, go ahead and come there and you can listen to this again. All right. And by the way, if you enjoy these teachings, if there's something in you that resonates to these teachings, which is a good sign that they are for you, then you might want to share the fact that these classes are taking place and that they are totally free of charge here on PalTalk on the internet with some of your friends or loved ones, or at least those people with whom you can share a spiritual relationship. So you might want to let your light shine in the world by not just keeping this the existence of this class to yourself, but by letting others know about it so that they too can participate in this, and they too can practice the first leg of the foundation of the world, the first leg of righteousness, which is instruction and learning and then teaching the secrets and the mysteries of Torah. All right, that's going to be all for today. Until we meet again, I ask that God bless you, that he let his face shine upon you. May you please remember God at least twice a day, and bring that way you bring God into your consciousness. That is, that you actually touch God with your consciousness, and this delights and brings joy to God. So remember, don't forget to remember God at least twice a day. Until we meet again, go from strength to strength. Be well. Zeigesund.